Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live and doing everything entertainment at MyTalk107.1.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer. Why are we so obsessed with serial killers? Also, think about this, and if you want to join the conversation, 651-641-1071. And I know this might sound kind of off color, but like, everybody's got a serial killer story that they're obsessed with. Feel free to share yours. I know for a lot of us, it's Jeffrey Dahmer, or he is one because, you know, there's a geographic proximity to that story,
correct.
I think,
that
fascinates us. But Colleen, and I'm asking for a very specific reason, but why do you think we are so obsessed?
With Jeffrey Dahmer?
Well, Jeffrey Dahmer or serial killers.
Yeah. You know what I think it is? I think we're fascinated by what brings a person to commit such heinous crimes and do so repeatedly. Like, what is it that snaps in your brain that makes that possible?
And oftentimes it's not just like, you know, crimes of passion where something happens and, you know, you regret it and, you know, you go to jail for the rest of
right.
your life. End of story. Here you have a situation where somebody repeatedly over time just, you know, goes after one person after another, and it seems so cold and calculated and thoughtless.
Well, and frequently, many of them, I mean, including but not limited to Jeffrey Dahmer, I think about John Wayne Gacy, I think about
Is there
Charles
a story
Manson.
You've been obsessed with over the years?
Well, what I was going to say about those, what they all have in common is that most people who interacted with them at one point or another found them to be incredibly charming or didn't necessarily see anything amiss that tipped them off to the fact that that person would be doing what they were doing. And so I think that that's what kind of captivates us.
Yeah, we seemed like such a nice guy, kind of kept to himself.
Right.
But overall, I don't know. People keep to themselves. Well, you know, such is
and
the case.
And then they keep yourself in the refrigerator.
Or in the case of Mr. Dahmer, they eat yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about today, because My Friend Dahmer, this is a thing, and it's coming out this fall. It's
is
a
this
movie.
Like a toy or something?
My Friend Dahmer. Better not turn your back on Jeffrey Dahmer. No. Okay. Anyway, My Friend Dahmer is this film project, but here it comes from a fascinating angle. So, you know, this is a story I'm certainly fascinated by. And I'm creeped out by, and it's one of those stories where you don't want to get too close, because when you are, you're like, ugh, like the Ed Gein story.
Yes.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started. So this particular movie is coming out this fall, but it takes a very different angle on the Jeffrey Dahmer story. It talks about Jeffrey Dahmer. It shows Jeffrey Dahmer in high school. So when he was an awkward teenager, quote, struggling his way through high school. It is a chilling glimpse, quote unquote, of his coming of age. And so it's essentially Jeffrey Dahmer as a high school kid. Now, this thing is all based on a graphic novel by one of his friends from high school.
Weird.
Can you imagine? And it was like that. And it was called My Friend Dahmer. This guy, John Durf, Durf is his nickname, but his name is John Backdurf. And this particular film is going to sort of show what it was like for Jeffrey Dahmer as a kid, which just is so creepy because, I mean, you know, you got kids.
Right.
They go to school with other kids.
I went to school with people. You know what I mean? Like
with a serial killer?
No, but did I? I don't know. But you start to look at your group of friends and go, which one of you?
Oh, God. Let's go to Gregory quick before we I want to play something even creepier for you. Connected with this Jeffrey Dahmer movie.
Oh, creepier than the guy who killed people and ate them?
Yeah,
okay.
Actually creepier
just check
than
it.
That. Not
right.
really, but okay. Let's go to Gregory. Hi, Gregory!
Hi, good afternoon. How's everybody doing?
Good.
What do you want to share?
Well, this is what I want to share. Jeffrey Dahmer and the Godiva Chocolate Factory in Milwaukee, where he used to work. I think about Dahmer every Christmas, you know? Every time I pick up a big block of that Godiva chocolate for my chocolate when I'm working on my cookies and stuff like that, and every time I go to the grocery store and buy a block of this stuff, I think of Jeffrey Dahmer. That's creepy. Jeffrey Dahmer at Christmas? No.
That's not, tis not the season.
That is creepy.
We all need the season, you know?
Oh, was
I don't care how delicious chocolate is, you know?
That is so creepy, Gregory.
Thank
Thanks
you,
for that
Gregory.
Story. I think, was it Girardelli? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Somebody says, I was just Googling it, that he worked at a Ghirardelli factory. And
yeah, that sounds about right.
In Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, ish.
Yeah, you don't want to think about chocolate?
Nope.
Okay, so...
Don't ruin chocolate for me.
I'm fascinated by the story. I'm like, a movie about Jeffrey Dahmer as a high school kid? I don't know. Let me... Oh, wait, here's an interview with the guy who's going to play a young Jeffrey Dahmer, because that's got to be weird, right? Well, then I listened to the interview, Colleen, and it was a little creepy. Can we play some of this?
Yes, here we go.
This is the actor... what is his name now? He's a Disney star.
Yeah, it's Ross Lynch, and he's from Austin and Ally. So people who have watched that show, also either he or he has like a twin brother, competed on Dancing with the Stars. Here we go.
Surprisingly, didn't know who Jeffrey Dahmer was. And then came my obsession with Jeffrey Dahmer, and I researched everything about him.
Action! Five on set.
My Friend Dahmer is basically the coming-of-age story of Jeffrey Dahmer. I play Jeffrey Dahmer basically around his high school years, sort of how he became the serial killer that we know him to be. Surprisingly, there's a lot of documentaries and such on Jeffrey Dahmer where he pretty much confesses all the things that he did and what he was thinking, which was great source material for my research. We shot My Friend Dahmer in the actual house that Dahmer grew up in. It's actually where he killed his first victim as well. And that was really interesting, because actually when we arrived, being in Dahmer's head, sort of, I felt at home in a weird way. Like, I felt comfortable. And then the last day of shooting, I couldn't wait to get out of there. People would just show up on set and they'd be like, oh yeah, I went to high school with Dahmer. And they'd be like, your walk is really good. Like, that's how he walked. And they'd be complimenting me about it. And that was actually really reassuring. Yeah, so Durf, the writer of the graphic novel.
Excuse me, please.
We were just having a conversation at the Dahmer house.
Can we just revisit some of this, please? I felt at home. I felt kind of comfy. It was interesting. And people were complimenting me on how much I walked and talked like him.
Which was reassuring.
Very reassuring. For you, maybe. Not for everyone else around you.
Oh, dear.
Like, this is one of those moments where you're like, okay, I know you're an actor and all, but like... Remember what we're dealing with here. Right. We're dealing with Jeffrey Dahmer, who ate people. And right. You're all like, yeah, so I, you know, acted in his home.
I really felt like I was in his head.
I was just there. It felt very comfortable. What? How did that feel what was the word he used? Comfortable.
He felt comfortable.
He felt at home.
At home.
Mm-hmm. I remember when this movie came out at the Tribeca Film Festival in like April or March of this year, and a lot of people like at the film festival were like raving about his performance, like, wow, he really embodied Jeffrey Dahmer. And I was like, this is creepy.
Yeah, let's also creepy. Not use the word embody.
Embody.
Okay,
because Jeffrey Dahmer was embodying some people. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Dawn. And Dawn, what do you want to share?
Hey there. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, this is Dawn. And this is similar, but not kind of... My son went on the school bus with the fella that murdered Katie Poyer in Moose Lake.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I met him every day at the bus stop in Richfield. And, you know, a kid's a kid. But think how their lives changed because of the actions that were so awful. I mean, just...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And in hindsight, I mean, it was like later on, I remember saying to my son, well, was the kid normal? And he said, yeah, he was just like anybody else.
Oh, that's so wild.
I know. Yeah. Oh, God. Thanks, Dawn, for that just sad story. But also, it just makes me glad I'm not a parent.
Oofed.
I got to worry about raising no serial
killer.
You
know, listen.
Oh.
It is seriously. Okay, I don't know if I'm not normal, but I, honest to God, think about that.
What do you think about?
I think about, like... What
like
am
your
I?
Kid's gonna be a
no, like
killer.
What am I doing that might be, you know, that might turn them into one, or like
yeah. See,
you know,
here's the thing. I doubt very much. Although I will tell you from watching many episodes or listening to many episodes of My Favorite Murder, which if you're obsessed with serial killers and just crime and murders in general, there are some common characteristics of serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were usually dropped on their head. They were usually sexually abused. They were usually, you know, there's like a list you can go down. Like they killed animals. I mean, there's a whole.
I just need to get that list and post it in my home.
As long as you don't do these things, mm-hmm. you're a winner.
You're safe.
On my list.
Okay.
Hey, kids, as long as you're not doing these things, gold stars for everyone. All right, let's let Anthony be the last word. We're talking serial killers. Hi, Anthony.
I was living in Central California at the time of the infamous Night Stalker.
Ooh.
Now that he had everybody in Central California and Southern California paralyzed. No one wanted to go out. No one wanted to do anything because every time you looked up, he was killing somebody.
That was Richard Ramirez, right?
Yes.
So what did you, I mean, how it was life, I mean, how did you have to sort of, or were you just always aware of the story? Like, what effect did you, do you think it had on your sort of day-to-day?
I kept my head on a swivel, you know? Yeah. I mean, I was a teenager, I was 17, I wasn't a small teenager, but still, he had a knife, I would go to school, go to practice, come home. You want to go off right now? I'm staying home.
Yeah.
That's the one that I'm aware of. And then, my dad told me about the Zodiac Killer when he was growing up.
Right?
Oh, sure. Got it. That's another
story.
That's
why I moved to Minnesota. Too many killers.
Yeah, well, as long as you stay out of Wisconsin, you're fine,
you're good.
Anthony. Thanks,
Anthony. I will say one time I heard a story about a serial killer who only killed redheads, and I was not able to function for a good week.
Oh, well.
You know.
He didn't do his job. When we come back here on the Colleen
and Bradley. You are horrible.
We're talking about serial killers. What do you want? When we come back,
live.
Well, speaking, remember how I just kind of threw Wisconsin under the bus?
Yeah.
Ed Gein, Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah. Well, not only do they want to be the first in that department, they also apparently want to be the first in this other weird department called Let's Microchip Our Employees.
Mm.
We're going to talk about that story when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1. To the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live and doing everything entertainment at MyTalk1071.com. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer. Some people may be creeped out by this next story, just like our previous one about serial killers, but I'm not. There's the story, Colleen, by now you've no doubt seen it. A Wisconsin company is offering its employees the opportunity to have a microchip implanted in their hand.
Also, I love the language. They've been offered the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. They are offering implanted chip technology to all of their employees in August. Employees will be implanted with an RFID chip, allowing them to do, among other things, Colleen, make purchases in the break room, open doors, log into computers, use the copy machine. Okay. Now, a lot of people have been freaking out. Oh, my God. Oh, God. They're trying to put chips in us. And I'm over here going, Colleen, if you're worried about being tracked, you're already being tracked. I mean, if somebody wants to, they can look at your webcam on your laptop while you're looking at things you shouldn't
be. This is true.
Mm-hmm. They can see your ugly bedhead.
Put a post-it over
your crusty crust.
Mm-hmm.
They can see all this stuff. This is not new. But to me, it's dumb. It's not anything to be worried about, but it's just dumb. Because all of the things that they want to do are things that you could do, I don't know, with an employee badge.
Yeah.
That don't have any of the consequences of, I don't know, going to your employer to have a chip implanted under your skin.
Right?
Like, or how about this? How about you just create an app on your phone that allows you to open the door,
right?
Log into your computer,
Track your whereabouts.
Yeah. Like, to me, it seems much ado about nothing, but this company has certainly succeeded in garnering the world's attention, because I should mention this would be the first company in the United States to offer this technology to their employees.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that. A couple things. First of all, I think they're doing this. I actually think they're the smartest company around right now. Because
what?
Okay, that was hyperbole. But this, I think they did it just for attention. Nobody's doing this. They were able to write a press release. We're the first people to be doing this. Everybody's talking about this business. Nobody, I did not know, what's it called? Something squared, M squared. I didn't know who they were.
32M.
32M. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know who they were. Three Square Market. Until now, we're talking about them in River Falls, Wisconsin. But I mean, like, it's working.
Okay, so, but yes, you're absolutely right. And I should tell you that they are partnering with this Biohacks International. Seems legit. Okay. But that's a company out of Sweden. Your people are responsible for this.
Do you actually have the audio?
Because
there,
I do.
There
I
was
do.
A press conference about this.
They did. Here you go.
Okay.
I mean, thank you.
You guys, I know the Swedish are very progressive, but this is just dumb. This is like technology circa, you know, 2000 versus 2017. Like, there's nothing to gain from this technology that you couldn't achieve in much less invasive ways. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm telling you, I am not opposed to the idea of being chipped, right? Because for ease of use, I would like to have my wallet in my finger.
Sure. Oh, boy. That, you know what, Bradley? You actually are a prime candidate for that.
Or in my butt, and you just got to like rub up against something if you want to spend some money.
Your wallet and your butt, but whatever.
I'm just saying, I'm fine. You got a lot of real estate back there, so, you know, put some things in there.
Sure.
Open doors. You know, if I want to do this for me, fine. But this just seems like a sort of ham-fisted way of doing something, and I think it certainly seems like it's really just an attempt to make a press release and get some attention, which they've succeeded in doing.
Because
frankly,
I hadn't heard of Three Square Market, and basically what they are is like a break room vending machine
outfit.
This
is the funniest thing, because in their press release, you learn very quickly that they one of the things that employees are now going to be able to do with this grain of rice under their hand or in between their thumb and forefinger is buy stuff in their employee break room using, oh, look, this break room micro market.
See, I mean, somebody's thinking over there. Now, I'm going to be really perfectly honest. If somebody at our business came to us and was like, we've got this great new program, you'll now be able to open doors and pay for stuff in the cafeteria, and we'll be able to track your time in the building with this nice little rice size thing that we're going to implant into your hand, I'd be like, how much are we paying for this technology? Is this necessary? Thank you. How about, I have an idea. Let's just funnel all that money back into your employees who would willingly volunteer to have a piece of rice. Yeah, implanted into their hand. How about thank you for being so willing? Here's some extra money. Bye.
Yeah. Again, I just don't think there's a benefit until you're like, you can, you know, go to the grocery store and you don't have to pull out a wallet. I still want the like thing where I've been promised, you know, I should be able to walk out of a store without having to
pay
for anything.
Right.
I mean, by hand. What I'm saying is, if I've got my wallet in my butt, I should be able to just walk through the door, beep, boop, bop, boop, beep. It scans my cart and tells me
how much you owe and takes the money right out of your bank account.
Exactly.
That's not scary at all. I actually am not 100% opposed to microchips. I think it is much ado about nothing, like you said, Bradley. Everybody's all up in arms about this because they're afraid they're going to be tracked. I got news for you. If people want to track you, I mean, you have your cell phone.
Why couldn't you just put all this technology that's in a grain of rice on a sticker? And then you put the sticker on the back of your employee badge. I'm just saying,
or
you freak people out.
How about you just have a badge?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always that option, and it doesn't require minor surgery.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then what happens? Do you know the answer to this? What happens when they decide not to use, or like when a person leaves the company, or they decide not to use this technology, or they need to do they take it out?
They it says in here that they press a button and it self implode, like it dissolves into your skin.
Oh, that's so weird. I mean, cool, but
I made that up, you ding-a-ling. Did you really believe me?
Well, I was like, I mean, I don't
they
know.
Press a button
sure,
and
fine.
It dissolves
yes,
into your
fine.
Skin.
Fine, I believed you. Fine.
Okay.
I did. It's not my best work.
Employees are going to have an inaugural chip party. in River Falls.
Stop.
On August 1st.
Now I don't know if you're kidding or not.
No. Employees will be chipped at the 32M inaugural chip party hosted at their headquarters in River Falls August 1st.
And we will invite any and all cameras, national and local media,
to look at our kiosks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Breakroomrehab.com for more information. We'll be right back here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live, doing everything entertainment at MyTalk1071.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer, and now it's time for our Lord and Lady Douchebag.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
I'm looking at you, Uber.
Uber? What did Uber do to you?
Oh, my, nothing to me. But here's what happened to a passenger who was in Chicago earlier this month and used Uber to get around. His name is Honor Manuel. And he...
Honor?
I think so, yeah.
As in no honor?
Well, anyway, he called an Uber to his location to pick him up. When the Uber arrived, there was a lady in the front seat next to the driver, the male driver.
All right.
And he was like, oh, huh. Okay, well, maybe it's just a family member. He double checked his app to make sure, because some areas have this Uber pool, so you can, there can be multiple people in the Uber and you're basically splitting the ride.
Sure.
But this was not the case. But okay. He got in the car anyway because he was like, okay, well, whatever. Well, as they're driving along, he starts taking video of what's happening in the front seat.
Okay.
First, the lady is leaning over and passionately kissing the driver while he is driving the vehicle. That happens for a little bit. He took some Snapchat video. But then her head wandered into a downward position.
Was she sick?
No.
What happened?
I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe there were like, I don't know. You know when on Halloween you go bobbing for apples?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if
she's
maybe...
bobbing for apples?
Maybe, I don't know if he had like a basket full of apples in his lap or something, but it appeared as though
a thing of apples in his lap.
Well, it just appeared as though maybe she was bobbing for apples in his lap. Either way,
weird.
It was dangerous.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
Oh.
So the guy takes a video, the passenger in the backseat takes
were there
video.
Apples?
Bradley, she wasn't really bobbing for apples. She was just doing that motion, you know, like she was bobbing for apples in his lap.
Was she tired?
Trainer.
Oh, she was doing the nasty.
Mm-hmm. And he took video of all of this. The guy, the passenger in the car, and you can hear him very clearly in the video say, please pull over so I can get out. He pulls over. He gets out. He proceeds. Now, here's where Uber becomes the D-bag of the day. He complains to Uber. He's like, I had the most unsafe and completely disgusting ride in Uber today. And he said, bleep you for providing me with the most unsafe and dangerous ride home last night. This driver had a random prostitute in the front seat. And guess what Uber did? How do you think Uber responded? Let's start there.
We're really, really sorry for, I don't know. And they probably fired that guy, too.
No, Uber gave him a $10 credit
for
calling out a guy who was distracted and driving on their force.
Ew.
Ish, right? $10 credit.
And also, who does that?
Thank
I would
you.
Have like I would have jumped out of the car like rolling.
I mean, I think that that's one of those things that they do in movies and they make it look really easy.
I'm out of here. No? Okay.
But not, I don't think that's a good plan.
Probably not.
But he did get out of the car and he had to pay for the ride.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And then he only got a $10 credit from Uber. Come on.
No, $10 is not enough.
No, enough. To have to see that.
I mean, it probably cost the guy more than $10.
Exactly. Maybe that's why he was driving Uber. He was trying to make enough for, you know, the apple bobbing.
Oh, gross. Mm-hmm. I'm disgusted.
Ish.
Ash.
Oh, that's just gross.
It's kind of the reverse of that show they had on HBO where the people in the backseat would get it on of the cab, taxi cab confessions.
Yeah, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of the front seat confessions.
I don't want to be a part of anybody's confessions.
No, keep it
in your pants.
Keep it in your pants.
All right. Well, okay. So Uber is...
Shame on Uber.
Shame on Uber. Mm-hmm. Fool me once. Shame on Uber. They didn't respond like, hey guys.
I mean, they were like, sorry about it. Here's your $8 or $10.
They really have the worst PR lately.
They're not having a good year.
No.
It's not their
years.
Yeah.
You know who else has not had a few good years?
Who?
My D-bag today. Her name is Anne Hathaway.
Oh, she's back.
Anne Hathaway, you know, she's done a few movies here and there. She had that movie with Robert De Niro, remember? I think that's the most recent movie she did where he was like the...
Oh, yeah, The Intern.
Yes, thank
you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, now she's going from The Intern to The Barbie. So we talked about this with Holly Roberts a little bit. Anne Hathaway has been linked to Sony's live-action Barbie movie that initially, you may remember, had one Amy Schumer attached to the film, but she went running from the film, I think because what woman in 2017, or as the film is set to hit theaters next June 2018, is contemplating doing a live-action Barbie film? I mean, if it's like an animated kids film... But even that, in this day and age, it just seems really weird to me. I don't understand the purpose or the point of this movie. Apparently, according to the people describing this film, the story takes place when a doll living in Barbie Land is expelled for not being perfect enough and sets off on an adventure in the real world with feminism and self-esteem.
Okay, not a bad plot.
I mean, but it sounds so...
Okay, but when you're in Anne Hathaway's head, because you know this is what she's thinking. She's like, oh, yes, this speaks to me. I have been raked over the coals for just being a strong woman. And this will be the way I can get back at the world by playing this very strong Barbie role. That girl makes me crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, if Amy Schumer turns down a role, you should probably turn down the role. And do you ever want to be like this, you know, the sloppy seconds?
No.
Schumer left the project in March, and she said it was her schedule, but I'm not buying it. She said, sadly, I'm no longer able to commit to Barbie due to scheduling conflicts. The film has so much promise.
Can I say something?
Is this going to be your first use of the intern
Kaha
opinionated intern truth stick?
Two chances.
I guess. But right. My thing is, like, who asked for this movie?
Yeah.
There are plenty of animated Barbie movies that kids are fulfilled with. Like, who asked?
Well, nobody asked.
Nobody asked.
Yeah.
And it's a mess. Yeah. So cancel it.
Oh my God, I love her.
I know.
Opinions.
She's like,
save your it's money a
mess.
And go.
It's a mess.
It's a mess, everybody. It's just a mess.
I totally agree. It's a mess. And frankly, Anne Hathaway's career is a mess. And she needs to get it together because she's a good actress.
I don't like Amy Schumer. No. Amy Schumer.
Neither do I.
She's annoying.
I don't either. Yeah, agree.
And like, I don't even I don't really understand what her thinking was getting involved in this project to begin with.
Because she probably
just alienated
thought
her more.
But it's perfect for Amy Schumer if you think about it in the sense of like, I'm not a perfect Barbie, and so I'm going to go out into the world and show you don't have to be a perfect Barbie.
And that's exactly what Anne Hathaway is probably attracted to about this, because she's felt...
She's conventionally attractive, though.
She is, totally, but remember, in her mind, because she felt like she got a raw deal when she had to go ugly for a role in Les Mis, remember, she had to cut her hair off, and then everybody turned on her. You know, she's a victim. In her
People
mind.
Turned on her.
Well, according to her, like most of us were just like, just be quiet because you're annoying. But she thought it was about her hair or something. Who cares? The point is this. By the way, is Lena Dunham at all involved in this project?
I also don't like Lena Dunham.
Oh, good. We're right. all on the we're same, on the same page on the Colleen and Bradley show from noon to three on My Talk.
He's
because
to get out of here.
Thank you. Yes, oh my God. Good. I thought you would have been a fan of Lena Dunham.
God forbid.
No. I knew it. I knew it. From the moment I met Kaha that she was not a Lena Dunham fan.
No.
Good. You have taste.
I am strong in my convictions, okay. And I know myself, and I live and I speak in my truth, okay?
Yes, Kaha.
Wow, where is this coming from today?
She's in a
Tuesday wisdom
space.
With the intern. All right.
Yes,
we'll
thank
keep
you, Kaha.
All right, when we come back, if a guy looks at your legs, find out what
is
that
he
means.
Hungry?
Find out when we come back. Also, money might or might not buy you happiness. Colleen has the answer when we return here on My Talk 107.1.
You just want attention. You don't want my heart. Maybe you just hate the thought of me with someone new. Yeah, you just want attention. I knew from the start. You're just making sure I'm never getting over you. Oh.
Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live and doing everything entertainment at MyTalk1071.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer, and now it's time for us to share with you some smarts. Smarts in the form of science to try to make you sound smarter as you walk through the world this week. Turns out, hey, if a guy stares at your legs...
Yeah.
He does not want anything to do with you.
Really? Why?
Because...
Science! Science!
So it turns out if you want to know whether or not somebody's actually into you, all you got to do is see where their eyes are looking.
Okay.
Because new research says that if they're looking at your legs...
Science!
Sorry, ladies. They don't want nothing to do with you.
Weird. I wonder why that is.
Science.
Okay.
So, as to why, all I can tell you is they looked at where men look, and it turns out that men are, when they are attracted to someone or they are interested in someone, they will look at a person's head or chest if they're eyeing them up as a potential romantic partner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the chest is no surprise, certainly. Also, guys are keen to check out a woman's hip area.
Ooh.
If they want to get busy.
Oh my gosh. Awkward.
They're just basically trying to use their x-ray vision to creep all up on their, uterus.
Well, seriously, I think that that's like, I think there's some sort of, what's the word? Evolutionary reason for that. Like, I don't think it's a conscious thing by any stretch, but I think there's this little piece of a male brain that's like, how many babies can I put in those hips?
Well, it turns out science agrees with you, and both men and women, however, do tend to concentrate on your feet and your legs if you just want to be friendly. So if you're on a date, just watch where the guy keeps looking. Now, there is a slight caveat to this, which is that if he's looking at your feet a lot, he might just be a foot fetishist.
Ish. And then don't get in the hot tub with him.
Do not, because he will suck your toes.
Mm-hmm. Not
before
not.
It'll be like a Jaws moment. Dude, happened to me once.
I know
in
it
my
did.
20s.
The weirdest story ever.
Yeah.
How did that date end, by the way?
I think we had sex.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, awesome.
I mean, I think that was the last time we hung out. But,
yeah, I would imagine after somebody just randomly starts sucking your toe in a hot tub, just one time will do it.
Yeah.
So to speak.
That was a really weird one. I could tell you more, but I won't because it's a family show.
I mean, can you euphemize? That was such a tease.
He had a very oddly shaped experience.
Oh, human area.
Yeah.
Human area.
A human area. It was a human area. It was very oddly shaped.
Okay, right.
It's very like, let's say you got an ice cream cone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, never
and it
mind.
Starts melting? Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know if I do want to know this.
No, never mind.
All right. Okay, well, moving right along,
yeah.
Bradley. Okay, so if a guy is looking at your legs, he wants you to run away.
If a guy is looking at your legs, you should run away because he's not interested in
you.
Putting it in you.
He's just not that into you.
No.
Okay.
Or doesn't want to be.
So to speak. Okay. Now, how about this? Bradley, I am so excited. I have definitive information as to whether or not money actually can buy happiness.
Whether or not money can buy happiness? You're telling me we know this now?
We know this for sure now.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because...
Science!
Tell me more.
Oh, this is so genius. So genius. Money can buy you happiness, literally, even if you don't have a lot of it. Even if you're not rich, money can buy you happiness. Because a study that they did at Harvard Business School of 4,500 people found that paying somebody to, quote, do something you find unenjoyable will give you more free time, and that will make you happier. Thus, having the money that you can spend on outsourcing your disgusting tasks makes you happier.
Oh, I totally believe this.
And it worked even that they found that this worked even when people were spending what they would call reasonable amounts on help, like less than $80 a month. And that's money used to do things like pay for cooking or shopping or daily chores. That is all it takes.
Like, my goal is to outsource everything. Like, Jamie does the laundry. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I have not been able to outsource, and I've tried, but he has resisted, is the food preparation. Because
really?
I spend a lot of time doing food preparation.
Do you not like, I do not like doing that?
I do. I mean, there's some, you know, it's like meditative and stuff. But mm-hmm. there are days when I just want to go have brunch with my friends on Sunday.
Right.
And I don't want to be like, you know, oh, I'm going to be stuck over here doing this.
I got to do this thing in the kitchen all day. Well, with your new Instant Pot, Bradley Trainer.
No, don't even get me started. Man. Oh,
that is money well spent.
Oof.
See?
I got a decal.
And that
for
money
it too.
Did you really buy a decal?
Yeah, I did.
Yesterday, Bradley opened my eyes to a market that I was unaware of, and that is the Instant Pot decal. So you can literally dress your Instant Pot. Now,
personalize that.
I was sort of shocked. I am shocked, in fact, because I'm finding out right now that you spent the money on that to dress up your Instant Pot.
$5. Calm down.
I'm not judging. I'm not judging.
True.
Because I have looked at decals for my crock pot, but whatever. So you don't make that face at me. You can't. No, judges can't judge.
Oh, my God.
No.
Have you met me? I can do whatever I want.
Okay, but you already bought the decal for your Instant Pot,
yeah.
So you can't judge me for this. This is a safe space.
Okay.
We're in a safe space.
I just want you to understand that at some point in your life, you're going to own an Instant Pot, and you're going to call me on the phone that day, and you're going to say, Bradley, I was so wrong. Thank you so much for sharing.
You know what? How about we do this?
Instant
I have an idea. Nope, I have an idea. Write this down. Or you can do it right now. I don't care. I think that you should pre-write the speech that you're going to give me when you think that I'm going to have my Instant Pot and say, Bradley, you were right all along. Why don't we save that experience that you are so sure that we'll have later?
Yeah, for
and
the
just
day that it happens.
Give me the speech now. Like, write it now. And deliver it now. And then when, and I'm putting that in loose quotes, because I don't believe that it's going to happen, but you do. You believe that someday I'll get an Instant Pot.
Yep.
And that I will say, Bradley, you were right all along. It has changed my life. Then instead of having to waste your breath then, you can say, remember.
Then I'll just play the tape.
Yeah,
no, that's fine. I'm down with it.
Okay, so you were going to work on that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
For sure.
Okay. Anyway, so what was the decal that you got for your Instant Pot?
I thought we were talking about science.
Well, we were, but I'm done with that now.
Oh.
Money can buy happiness, and your money bought you the happiness of a decal for your Instant Pot.
Oh, yeah. So, and I bought the TARDIS one. It's a Doctor Who TARDIS, and it says it's bigger on the inside, because that's what they say about the TARDIS. But also
cute.
My Instant Pot, it's 8 quarts. Thank you.
Is it going to look like a TARDIS? I mean, how good is this decal? Is
I mean,
it what I'm saying?
It's a decal of the TARDIS and then the words.
Okay.
Bigger on the inside.
So it doesn't dress, it's not going to like R2-D2 eyes your Instant Pot.
No.
Okay. Well, you know. No, that's good.
Are you judging my decal now?
No, I can't.
Says
I'm not allowed
who
to judge your
Instant Pot is dumb?
I'm not allowed to judge your decal because I already told you I've looked for decals for my crock pot.
I am still back on. I want to go back to this conversation about outsourcing things.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly, someday I want to outsource everything.
Okay, what is the first thing you need to outsource right now? The cooking?
Yeah.
I want to outsource cleaning.
Okay. But you can do that easily. I mean, you just find somebody that you trust and you feel does a good job, and then you pay them to clean your house.
If you can afford it. And also, there's also the other irritating factor.
Which is?
Of having to clean up before somebody comes to clean.
Children.
Well, I know, which is why I'm trying to outsource right now, and we're doing it little by little. They've started vacuuming now. We have a whole, I have a whole technique to get them to get stuff done around the house.
Yeah, no, you have to. They have to be doing stuff around the house.
I agree. I 100% agree. But I'd also then, in that case, like to outsource my nagging.
To whom?
To somebody else who will nag my family for me. I'm so tired of that voice I get.
Let's just outsource your children. Can't you send them to boarding school or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I like them. I like them. I like having them around.
Yeah, but you'll like them even more in little doses. You know what I mean? When you, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I mean, I already get them in little doses. Let's be honest. Because I'm here most of my waking hours.
So what are you belly aching about?
I just don't like to nag. I'm just tired of nagging.
What are you nagging about? I mean,
everything.
You're literally nagging right now.
I know. That's the thing. I hate nagging. It's the worst. But, you know, people, if you're going to motivate people, you have to be a nagger.
I just, you know, I turned a corner yesterday in my relationship with Oprah, and now my goal is to be OLR.
Oprah level rich.
That's not going to happen.
Oh,
she's trying to poo-poo on my dreams.
Intern.
That's cute.
She did, and she turned her mic right off. She was like, "Oh, I'm not even going to let them threaten to take away my other truth stick."
Nice try.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that works.
Bradley,
out for
I believe
you.
In you.
I ain't taking you on my boat, intern. Mm-hmm. Kaha.
No yacht for you.
No yacht for you. You'll be on the shore waving.
I, on the other hand, will stay in your good graces.
Thank you. All right. When we come back here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, from dumb to dumber. And by that, I mean Discovery Racing Sharks. We'll tell you about it when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.